I look at the news release from your college, and a $120 million project is nothing to sneeze at.
No, it's not. In fact, this will be one of the largest building projects in the history of Texas A&M on this campus, and we're very excited about that. It's not just about being the biggest. We just think this is overdue and necessary and fitting for the only College of Veterinary Medicine and Biomedical Sciences in the state of Texas, and certainly one of the best in the world.
Walk me through a little bit of the chronology of how the college arrived at this point.
This college has been in existence since 1916, and so, as you know, needs change, and so do facilities. And the buildings that we're currently in are 1950s, and we have not only outgrown them, but they just, when they did the campus analysis, these were a set of buildings, many of them, most of our academic buildings, that fell into the category if it would be much less expensive to demolish and replace and build new than to bring them up to even acceptable standards. And that was one of the things that really got us started thinking about this. Another thing was we are accredited by the Council on Education of the American Veterinary Medical Association, and we have visits once every 7 years. During the last visit, there was some language that said that the current facilities really do not, pieces of them do not enhance education and actually can get in the way of education, and that we could not even shoehorn one more student into these current facilities without adversely affecting the education of our students. So we found ourselves in an untenable situation.
Catches up then to this point then, when did the planning first begin, and what all did you go through to get to the point of now you've announced your architectural team?
We went through all the necessary steps that are required for a building on this campus. The Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board, of course, we got their feedback into enrollment and programs. We had to go through many steps through facilities planning and construction, as well as the Council on Built Environment. We have a committee with many different levels through that. So, you know, it's quite a process. In addition, we certainly had to get support from the president, and the president did rank this as the number one building priority on the campus. That's what was the springboard to the final decision.
So what was taken under consideration as you all decided on who was going to lead the architectural, the design of this project?
Well, the facilities and planning and construction, facilities planning and construction oversees that process, and they make a call for architectural firms, and we had quite a few, and then we went through them here. A lot of them came and made personal visits, and we Sam Wigginton, who's our director of facilities here at the college, interviewed a lot of them. They visited with many people on campus, and then through that process we came up with a short list, and then they came to campus and went through an actual interview process. And then we selected, those were the final three. We kind of selected the top three from that. And I'll tell you, there were a lot of wonderful firms. This was a very difficult decision to select an architectural firm, because this is somebody that needs to help you realize your vision. That's somebody that needs to be competent and technically competent, can understand our culture and our culture here at Texas A&M and what we're trying to accomplish there. And somebody that we fit, because we're going to live with these people for a while. So it was a tough process with many top firms. It was very hard to say no to some of them.
To plagiarize Dr. Lofton when he talked about moving to the SEC as a 100-year decision, when you said that the college opened in 1916, you have the same illustration.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, we do.
A new veterinary medical education building and a small animal hospital expansion, what is that going to allow your students and your faculty and your researchers to do?
The education building will foster new and innovative teaching technologies, and it will be adaptable to innovations that emerge in the foreseeable future. We want a modern building and a flexible building that can continue to mold as need be as things change, and they do. The minute we build it, there will be pieces of it that will already be outdated with the technologies today and how they evolve. So what we want to, very important point, we want a learning-focused environment, not a teaching-focused environment. What does that mean? We want a building that fosters engagement in learning rather than just an environment for imparting knowledge. So with that, we will have flexible learning environments that support broad collaboration and interaction among students as well as between students, faculty, and staff. There are some other things that we think are very important. One is simulation technologies are increasing in numbers and sophistication. And these simulation technologies enhance the learning of medical techniques and hands-on procedures that students need to learn, and it better prepares them for hands-on patient care. There, we have access to the simulation laboratory, thanks to the graciousness in the Health Science Center, but there are many veterinary mannequins as well that can help students learn basic medical procedures like blood collection, basic surgeries, delivery of calves. They're just unlimited. One mannequin can simulate abdominal pain in horses and can it can actually simulate the different diseases in the abdomen of the horse. So we're very excited about that. I think this is really going to enhance our student learning. I'm focusing a lot on the veterinary education building. We also have a small animal hospital expansion. Our small animal hospital sees 20,000 cases a year. It's a very busy place. It's a 1950s building. It is very cramped. Anybody who gets behind the front desk can see how busy it is. And the faculty they have a tremendous amount of expertise and dedication to their patients. And it's a cramped environment now. This expansion of the small animal hospital is an interim step that can enhance that hospital, but there still will be a need for a new small animal hospital or an expanded small animal hospital in the future.
But it will certainly make a difference.
Yes. I think another thing that the listeners might want to hear is that anytime we do something on this campus like this, of this magnitude, it's not a one-person decision. It is a lot of people that analyze and make proposals and go through a stepwise process that's rigorous but necessary so that the end product is one that serves us well. And in this particular case, we had tremendous support from President Lofton and the rest of the campus, and we've had tremendous support from Chancellor John Sharp, who was the ultimate person to sign off on this building project, and we are enormously grateful to them for doing so.
The physical location of all this is going to be where?
It will be on Raymond Stotzer. It will be the classic drive we have now that goes into our large animal hospital. We will take that as the entrance to this new building, and we will expand that and make a boulevard. So not only will we have this very nice building that fits into the complex well, it will be one that is a front door to our veterinary campus that we have not had. So I'll just promise you this. When you drive by, it will be a wow factor. And you will look at that and you will say, wow, that is a top College of Veterinary Medicine on a top campus in the state of Texas.
And what becomes of the existing buildings?
Well, we'll have to decide that later. The buildings that we're in, again, were assessed as being more expensive to bring up to even acceptable standards than to replace. So there certainly is a possibility that the current buildings will be demolished. What we would love to have happen and what is in our master plan is that we get this building built, then we demolish these buildings, and then we take our small animal hospital, which is also 1950s, and that we expand it in this direction on this current footprint, or at least a part of it. And that would be of our future.
What's the timetable then to lead to groundbreaking and eventual opening?
We will have this architectural firm come and visit us next Friday, and they will meet our faculty, and our faculty will meet them. That will kick off a lot of meetings where we can design this building. We have a lot of the program of requirements done, or at least in draft form, so we're ahead of the game. So we're hoping that we could have a groundbreaking early in 2013. For completion, we really want this done either before or early in 2016. There's a bit of pressure here because that is our 100-year anniversary. And wouldn't it be great to have our celebration of 100 years in this new building?
If you could talk a little bit more about the process of selecting this architect's team.
We sort of started on these architectural firms, and we interviewed a lot. We looked at a lot of the materials they sent. We went through a rigorous interview process. It's really interesting because this group just captured our attention. You know, they not only did they emit that quality of competence and creativity and innovation, but they really got us. They understood our vision, and they understood the importance of this project to our future. And so they saw this as a once-in-a-lifetime construction project, not only for us, but also for them. And so their enthusiasm was palpable as we interviewed them. And that's why we selected them. And we selected them, as I mentioned, among very strong architectural firms, and I wish we could have said yes to more than one, but this one did stand out for those important reasons.
What else might listeners be interested in knowing about this project and about the college?
Another thing that I think is very important about this building project is, as you stated earlier, this is the only College of Veterinary Medicine in the state of Texas, and again, one of the best in the world, we believe strongly. And we feel a tremendous obligation to the state of Texas to fulfill the responsibilities of this only college of its nature. We have a big job, and we want to do it really well. And this will enable us to serve Texans better. We play a tremendous role in serving the livestock industry in this state, as well as people's pets, their family members. And there's a broad spectrum of the role of veterinary medicine that these facilities will help us fulfill even better. You're going to be hearing a lot more about a term we call One Health, and this building will help us fulfill that mission too. Now, what is One Health? One Health is the inextricable link between animal, human, and environmental health. You just can't dissect them. And so on this campus, we have the animal component that can serve this entire state and can enhance animal, human, and ecosystem health through what we do. And we've all experienced this recent West Nile virus outbreak. That's one of the most recent things. But we also are a border state. We are a state with large populations of animals and people, and that comes along with challenges for us. And we feel a very strong responsibility to this state to serve them well.
Talk a little bit about the reaction around campus and even off campus to this project.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm pretty excited about this. The faculty are excited about this, and I think a lot of people in the state are excited about this. I have heard a lot of people say, finally, this is what we need. The veterinarians, our alumni, are excited about this project. So what we have done is we actually have a website where we have a place for faculty, students, staff, alumni, and others to contribute to this and give their ideas on what we need. So we're getting a lot of information back. So we don't miss anything. We don't get it finished and say, I wish we'd thought of that. So there is an opportunity for that. We'll be given updates for the building on this website as we go along. So this will, again, belong to the state of Texas, and we know they'll be proud of it.
This whole project takes in so many different components.
It does.
The academic side and the practical side and the students and the alumni and those who have livestock and those who have small animals. It sounds like there's not been a stone unturned in this whole thing.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. That's definitely true. And I'll tell you that I've been many, many places, and I have never been a place where the dedication to students is higher than at Texas A&M and in this College of Veterinary Medicine and Biomedical Sciences. In everything that we do, the question is always asked, what will be the impact on the students? And it is not just lip service. It is real. It's very impressive to me. It's a culture that we cannot let slide even a tiny bit. So this building will even shore that culture up more. The students are our future, and we are so dedicated to them. One more point is that we feel that this is a campus treasure, and we certainly want to open it up to everyone on the campus and to come and see and use and work with us and things like that. Many people on the campus already bring their animals to us to take care of, so they're familiar with us. And we love to serve the campus in that way. One more thing that we want to accomplish in this project is we want, using an animal metaphor, you'll have to pardon that, a watering hole. We have some vision about a little structure, a little facility that will be a place to which people are naturally drawn. And in that process, we'll get people interacting. And that'll be student to student, faculty to student, faculty to faculty. We just want a place where people come together because we think that that's where the great ideas emerge. That's where the innovations come, and that's where communication is fostered. And so we're going to have that. That'll be a centerpiece to this building.
A great illustration for community.
Yes, and we were just talking about that this week, but we had a discussion about developing some guidelines for the use of our current facility by the community, and our feeling is that this is a campus facility within a community, and that we really encourage the community to utilize this facility, and we have a lot of people using it, a lot of groups, and we like that. We like those partnerships. We like to make it available.